you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Luke chapter 7. We're going to read verse 36 to 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. I've entitled my message this afternoon, Never Alone. Never Alone. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 40. In verse 36 it says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Amen. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him. You know, Jesus, knowing his thoughts, knowing what was going on in his heart, Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back. So he forgave the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into this house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Beautiful, amen. Her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You know, there are three important questions a person asks himself or herself in their life. Three important questions. What, who, where? Let me say that again. Who, what, where? Who as in, who am I? What as in, what is my purpose? Where as in, where do I belong? Who am I? What is my purpose? Where do I belong? And in this account, as the author has described, we have a sinful woman who happens to be indulging in sinful acts. And so is considered unholy, outcast, even dirty by the society. And when we consider her story, even though it is not mentioned in this account, we can somewhat picture her, can't we, as a young teenager asking these very three questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? Where do I belong? Who, what, and where? Was she adopted? We don't know. Where were her parents? We don't know. What was her background like? We don't know. Did she grow up in a good family? Did she grow up in a very domesticatedly unsettled family? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what we do know is she's now involved and indulging in some sinful acts. You know, what made her do what she was doing? See, every time I read this, you know, this question I ask myself, what made her do what she was doing? You see, our society is so quick to judge, so quick to come to conclusion, rather than truly finding out what the person might be going through, rather than finding out what that person had been through. And you see, the Pharisees of the time, sadly, they were in this category. They were quick to judge. They were quick to come to conclusion. They were quick to label people. And you know, Jesus was invited to dine with them. And the reason Jesus was invited to dine with them, because these Pharisees, they wanted to know who Jesus was. These Pharisees, they wanted to know what his purpose was. These Pharisees, they wanted to know where did he want his followers to get to. They wanted to know what this man was all about. The Pharisees has sadly fallen into this temptation of power trap, this power trip, and started seeing people through their lenses of conclusion rather than lenses of compassion.
Yeah.
These Pharisees started seeing people through their lenses of conclusion rather than lenses of compassion. See, Jesus, his approach was different. Jesus' approach was different. He was more interested in the person rather than the person's act. Amen? Jesus was more interested in the person rather than the person's act. He was moved with compassion before jumping into conclusion. He was moved with compassion before jumping into conclusion. And I believe we need to move the same way like Jesus did. We need to learn to move in compassion, with compassion, rather than conclusion.
Yeah.
Conclusion will make people prideful.
Yeah.
Conclusion will make people think, you know, I'm better than that person. I'm more holier than that person. But compassion will swift that person's heart.
Yes.
And compassion will make that person sit down with the other person, regardless of whatever the background that person has. Compassion will completely cross this whole barrier of segregation. Compassion will make you love the unlovable. Compassion will make you sit down with the sinner, with the broken, because you'll be more interested in that person rather than what the person is doing, or rather what the person is getting himself or herself into. Conclusion will stop us from learning. Let me say that again. Conclusion will stop us from learning. He's too young. He knows nothing. And the young ones will say, oh, he's too old. He doesn't know the trends and the cultures of the modern generation. It's all conclusion. See, we see people on the outer appearance, and we base our whole conclusion, we base our whole assumption on how the person looks, rather than what is really happening beneath that person's outer appearance. We're all sat here this afternoon, but I don't know what is happening in your life. We're all smiling on the outside. We're all rejoicing on the outside. But I don't know the hurts that you might be carrying in you. I don't know the struggles that you might be going through. But I know someone who does, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. I'm so grateful that I know a Savior who knows me and who accepts me, who understands me, who loves me for the way I am.
Yes.
See, I don't need to prove myself to him. See, we all have this tendency. We try to prove ourselves to others. But I praise God, we don't have to prove to Jesus.
No.
He knows us. He understands us. He understands us. In verse 36, it says, a woman in that time who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. Word got round in that street that Jesus was visiting this Pharisee and Jesus was going to dine with these Pharisees. And as the word got round to her, she didn't wait. She didn't wait. Although there might be loads of thoughts that might be going in her mind, thinking, oh, what if people see me? What if they don't let me in the house? All these sort of things going in her mind. She pushed past those thoughts.
Amen.
She pushed past all those emotional barriers, and she stepped out in faith. You know why I know that? Because the scripture says, because of your faith.
Yes.
Amen. Because of your faith, you have been forgiven.
Yeah.
It was the act of faith that made her push past all these barriers of emotions.
Yeah.
See, we are all emotional beings. Yeah. The Bible teaches us to be spiritual beings.
Yeah.
See, each and every one of us, we are physical beings, we are emotional beings. But I praise God for the truth, because the truth now makes us spiritual beings. And we are no longer bound by our emotions, but we are only moved by the Spirit. We are only moved by the truth, the Word of God. The Word of God. Verse 38, it says, as she stood behind him at his feet, she began to kiss. She began to wet his feet with her tears. It's a beautiful picture there. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. See, what gets me is nobody in that room understood what she was doing, except for Jesus. Nobody in that room understood her acts, except for Jesus. Everyone thought, oh, look at this sinner, this sinful woman. And how is this teacher allowing this sinful woman to touch him? Surely if he were a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman she is. For the law says if an unclean person touches a clean person, that clean person becomes an unclean person. Surely if this was the prophet, surely if it had some study of the tradition of the ancient scriptures, he'd know what kind of woman she is. Because if she sat and ate with these people, all of a sudden, all these people would be now considered unclean as well. For if an unclean man touches another clean person, automatically in that society, people would now see that clean person as an unclean as well, because he is now just touched this unclean person. But Jesus doesn't care any of that.
No.
Jesus doesn't care about what the society thinks.
No.
Jesus doesn't care about what people think. Because Jesus is interested in that woman. Because Jesus was more interested in healing that woman. Because Jesus was more interested in forgiving her sins rather than what the society thought of him. See, all the other leaders, they were more concerned about their prestige. They were more concerned about their reputation. But Jesus was more concerned about her. And even this afternoon, you might think, oh, I've done this, I've done that. I'm a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman. But Jesus would say to you, I don't care. I just love you and let me heal you. I just love you and let me forgive you. I just love you and let me cleanse you. About 10, 11 years ago, when I first heard the gospel, I thought I needed to wash myself. I thought I needed to make myself a clean person, a holy person before I stepped into church, before I stepped into this holy relationship with Jesus. But when I heard the gospel was exactly opposite to my thinking. You are unclean. You belong to his family.
Yeah.
You are messed up.
Yeah.
You belong to his family.
Amen.
You've done something wrong. You belong to his family.
Amen.
It's not about what we do, is it? It's not about what I do. We can all put up a front. I can put up a front. I can give you a great show. But Jesus sees beneath. Jesus sees the heart. And this afternoon he's calling you. The same way Jesus called the sinful woman. Jesus is calling you. She was worshiping Jesus, but nobody saw that, because they only saw her outer appearance rather than her heart. Jesus, being all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding, already knew that she was going to be there. See, if Jesus is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding, Jesus knew that she was going to be there. And I believe Jesus purposely went to Simon the Pharisee's house for a meal, because he knew that she was going to be there. See, when Nathanael was under the fig tree, and when Nathanael went to see Jesus, and when Nathanael said, oh, what good can come out of Nazareth? What did Jesus say to Nathanael? I already saw you under that fig tree.
Yeah.
And before this woman, she stepped into this Pharisee's house, Jesus already knew that she was going to be there. Let me go for as far as to say, before even you made decision of coming to church, Jesus already knew that you were going to be here. He goes before us. He goes before us. You see, when we pray to God, He knows what we're going to pray before even we pray. Before we ask something to God, He already knows what we're about to ask Him. But He just waits patiently. You see, the scripture says, David says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently upon the Lord. But can I say this as well? God waits patiently for us too. God waits patiently for each and every one of us. I was a mess. I needed a touch from the Savior. My mom, she believed in Jesus, but as a young teenager, I fully didn't. I grew up with Hinduism, and I grew up with Christianity as well. So I grew up with both different religions. And for me, the concept of God was, yes, there is a God, but there are loads of gods. You know, but when I heard the gospel, I found that there is only one true living God. Amen. There is only one way to God. Yeah. There is only one way to salvation, and His name is Jesus.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. When I heard that message was liberating. When I heard the message, all the burdens just fell off. When I heard that message, that I didn't need to prove myself anymore, that I didn't need to pretend to be someone that I'm not, all the heaviness, all the burden just lifted off. When I understood that Jesus accepted me for who I am.
Just as I am.
All the burden just lifted off. And she needed that peace. She needed that freedom. She needed that healing. You see, it wasn't the outer healing she needed. She needed the inner healing.
Yes.
See, we all want the outer healing, don't we? And it's great to have outer healing. You know, I believe God's healing comes in full completion. But outer healing is great, yes. But most importantly, God wants us to have that inner healing.
Yeah.
God wants us to have that inner healing. You see, Jesus went before her and was waiting for her because He knew her. She thought she was alone, but she was never alone.
No.
She thought she was alone, but she was never alone. When she was in her house, and all these negativeness just hits her like a ton of bricks. And all these thoughts just overwhelmed her. And all these lies, condemnation constantly wearing her down. And when she was just full of anxiety and all these depressions, she thought she was alone and nobody understood her. But Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. And Jesus purposely went to Simon the Pharisee's house. Because He wanted to meet with her.
Amen.
He wanted to meet with her. Can you imagine what are the chances that on that very particular day, her finding out that Jesus was in this place?
Yeah.
This is no coincidence. This is God incident. God planted that seed in her. And God used someone to plant that seed in her.
Yeah.
God used someone. And because of that someone sharing this truth to her, she was now at this place witnessing what Jesus was sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And after being stood there listening to what Jesus was sharing, she finally makes that step of faith. And she goes for it. She begins to worship in Him. She begins to worship Him. See, today, you too might feel like you were alone. Can I just say this? Let me say this again. You too might feel that you are alone. That word feel. Feel is an emotion. Emotion is a good thing, but emotion is also a bad thing. See, I believe God has given us authority to control our emotions. But it does not happen over time. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. You see, in the Genesis passage regarding Cain and Abel, see, God says, sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it.
Yeah.
In other words, all these negative emotions, all of these negative thoughts, they're crouching at your door. But you and me, we must master it.
Yeah.
We must master it. We can master it, amen?
Yeah.
We can master it. It is possible. It is possible. You see, so many times, Because we know it's going to be hard, we give up. Fighting with our emotions is hard, but also changing our emotions hard. See, they're both hard. Feeling an emotional wreck and letting all them negative thoughts beat us up is hard. But also fighting them negative thoughts and coming out victorious the other end is also hard. They're both hard. But God has given us authority to choose our heart.
Amen.
So we need to choose our heart. What are we going to choose? Are we going to settle as a defeated believer, or are we going to settle as a victorious believer?
Victorious.
Amen?
Amen.
How are we going to settle this? Because the word is already there.
Yeah.
The help is already there.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Yes, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It is going to be difficult. With anything, it's going to be difficult. For an alcoholic to get rid of alcoholism, it is difficult. But over time, when the person constantly learns to say no to alcoholism, he will come out the other end strong. Drug addiction, kicking drug addiction is hard. But when a person constantly learns to say no, constantly learns to take control of his and her emotion, it is possible.
Amen.
Gambling addiction is hard. But when a person learns to say no and set up some boundaries in his or her life, it is possible.
Amen.
You see, it was impossible for this woman. But because of the act of faith, it was made possible.
It
was made possible. Stepping into Pharisee's household. Imagine that. You know? We're talking about leaders here. We're talking about a top leader in the area. Imagine stepping into that person's house uninvited and all of a sudden breaking this alabaster jar and perfume and pouring it into Jesus' feet and washing it with her tears and wiping it with her feet. People are thinking, who's she? What's she doing there? Not people, not that, but people knew who she was. And they were shocked even at the fact that the teacher is now allowing her to touch him. He understands us. He's patient with us. He's gracious and merciful and he's faithful to us.
Amen.
He sees us. He understands us. You know, he saw her and he understood her. You know, Jesus was a very busy man. He was getting invited everywhere to share the good news. Word got round like wildfire. And he was invited here, there, everywhere, every household he was invited. But out of all the invitation, he accepted the invitation of this Pharisee.
Amen.
Because he knew she was going to be there.
Yeah.
He knew she was going to be there. You know, he was performing miracles, teachings, and reshaping the world of the time. And so we can imagine after a busy day, Jesus approaching Simon's household for a meal. His feet were dirty. Both his feet were dirty. He was feeling a bit sweaty maybe. And as he sat down at the table with our other Pharisee, he was a bit tired. Because we need to understand that he's fully human, but he's also fully God.
Yeah.
Okay? And as he sat there, we find in verse 44, then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not even give me water for my feet. See, there's one sign of disrespect there. In the time when this was written and in this Mediterranean time, what would happen was after a long day of walking and doing whatever you do, before you sit down for a meal, you'd wash your hands and your feet.
Yeah.
But when Jesus enters his household, the Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, doesn't even offer him water for that. And second thing, 45, you did not kiss me, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. The way of their greeting would be to holy kiss. They'd greet each other with a holy kiss. The sign of hospitality, the sign of gratefulness that you've come to my household to dine with me. But he doesn't even do that. And third thing, you did not put oil on my head. After a long day of walk, you know, you smell a little bit, don't you? You need a little bit of good smell. So after the refreshing of washing of hand, washing of feet, and greetings and all that, you know, they would, if you were kind of specially invited to his household and as a sign of respect, I'd offer you some oil. just for a refreshment so that you smell good when you sat down to have your meal. But what does happen here? He doesn't even get offered that. And Jesus says, but the moment she's walked into this room, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. The moment she's walked into this room, she hasn't stopped washing my feet with her tears. The moment she's walked into this room, she hasn't stopped wiping my feet with her hair. It's a beautiful picture of worshiping. She's given her all. She's given her all, her extravagant worship to her. And at that very moment when she's there washing Jesus' feet and worshiping Jesus, it was as if it was just them two in the room and her just worshiping and pouring it all to Jesus. See, there's a beautiful picture here, a picture of surrender,
yeah.
A picture of complete dependency, a picture of complete repentance, a picture of complete adoration. See, for each and every one of us, we know, we've read about Jesus, we've heard about Jesus, we even sing about Jesus. But when it comes to completely surrendering our all to Jesus, I think, truthfully speaking, we all struggle. We all struggle, I struggle. You know, I sing about saying, I surrender it all to you. But sometimes there are things in our lives that we haven't fully surrendered to Him. And maybe this afternoon there are things in your life that you are holding on to. You know, pride, we need to surrender it to Jesus. Unforgiveness, we need to surrender it to Jesus. Bitterness, we need to surrender it to Jesus. Because we're worshiping Jesus with our hands just clenched tight. We're worshiping with our hands lifted high, but we're not free because we're still holding on to things. We want to be free. But there are areas in our life that just held us bondage. And I want to say to us this afternoon, Jesus forgives sins. We've heard it a thousand of times, but let me say it one more time. Jesus forgives sins.
Amen.
You might look at yourself this afternoon, you might say, do you know what? I don't deserve any of this. None of us do. I don't deserve this. But Jesus still continues to forgive me. Jesus still continues to forgive each and every one of us. Don't let your one wrongdoing mess up your entire relationship with Jesus.
No.
There is always forgiveness. There is always forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Amen. Say it with me. There is forgiveness. I am forgiven. Jesus forgives sins. She was there. Jesus forgave her in front of everybody. Jesus didn't care about what people were saying. Jesus just like, I forgive your sins. Jesus forgave her. Jesus heals sicknesses and diseases. This is absolute truth. Jesus heals. Amen. Jesus forgives. We're so quick to believe this, that Jesus forgives, but we're so slow to believe Jesus heals. We need to be quick to believe on this one as well. Jesus heals sicknesses and diseases. Jesus restores broken lives and families.
Yeah.
I'm a testimony of that.
Amen.
And you guys are a testimony of that too. Jesus heals and Jesus restores broken lives and families. Jesus reconciles broken relationships. Jesus reconciles broken relationships. Jesus provides for his children. Jesus transforms lives. Jesus is able. And you might say, it is hard. Like I said earlier on, yes, it is hard. But we must learn to choose our heart. I'm going to settle for the best rather than settling for the less.
Amen?
Amen? I'm going to settle for something that is going to last rather than a quick fix. See, it's all about choices. Yes, the circumstances might have been hard for some of us, most of us, all of us. You know, in her situation, the circumstances might have been hard for her. You know, the background might have been difficult for most of us, even for all of us. You know, but it's all down to us. It's all about choices. We are not product of our circumstances, but we are product of our choices.
Amen.
Let me say that again. We are not product of our circumstances, but we are product of our choices. It's all about choices. See, we sang about it earlier on. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. It started with a choice. It started with a decision. I am deciding to follow Jesus. When I first heard the gospel, it shook my entire core. It shook my entire being. I thought, how can such living, holy God love such a sinner like me? I broke down in tears. It was just me and him. I heard the message later when I went to my room. My knees just hit floor. I'm crying out to God. I'm screaming to God. God, I just need restoration. God, I need transformation. God, I need that healing in my life. I was a young boy, but my mind was tormented. I was a young boy, but my inner spirit was in turmoil. My inner soul was in turmoil. I cried out to Jesus. And do you know what? Jesus came and he met me. I didn't know, but he had gone before me. I moved to Doncaster from London. He'd gone before me and he'd spoken to Andrew and Grace. And he'd put me in contact with them. And the person who put me in contact with them is no longer walking with the Lord. But God used him. God used him for such a time as that. I pray that he comes back to the Lord. I pray that he starts to realize that love, that forgiveness, that rest that can be found in him.
Yeah.
But I praise God, it was because of him. Yeah. I came in contact with Andrew and Grace. I came in contact with Harvest Fields. Yeah. And it was because of that gospel.
Yeah.
Because of the truth that was spoken to my very soul.
Yeah.
It changed me. Change did not happen overnight. Change took time. I'm going to say this, change is good. Amen?
Amen.
Change is good.
Amen.
Change is hard. Change is tough. Change pushes us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
Change makes us vulnerable.
Yeah.
Change exposes us. Change makes us very, very vulnerable. Because now we're opening up ourselves to God, saying, God, this is me before you. But I tell you, when God hears the honest, honest repentance of the heart, he loves broken spirit. He loves empty vessel. So that he can pour his all to us. He wants us to be empty. Empty of his pride. Empty of all the negativeness. Empty of all the lies. He wants us to get rid of it. And I know it's going to be tough. We're all on this journey together.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say this, my 10 years, my 11 years with Harvest Fields, they've accepted me. You know, three questions I said earlier on. Who am I? This was the very thing I used to ask myself. Who am I? And because I was searching for my identity, I was looking for it in wrong places. One thing led to another. Ended up becoming a broken mess. But when I came to Jesus,
yeah.
And when that truth hit me,
yeah.
That I was a child of God,
oh,
it all changed. Yeah. It all changed when I understood that I am a child of God.
Yeah.
You know, as you guys know, I'm a father now. And when I held my little baby for the first time, I just broke down in tears. I just couldn't hold it. You know, it was a painful 24 hours for my wife, more than 24 hours contraction. And but when it all finished and when I was there, me and my wife, when we were holding the baby, I just broke down in tears. There was loads of, you know, surgeons and nurses and midwives and everyone around us. And I was trying my hardest to toughen up, you know, and be a man and not just give in. I just couldn't. I just broke down in tears, you know, and I looked at the little one and I just... You know, the next level of love just came out. The love that I'd never experienced before. It just came out of nowhere. And then I looked at this little one and I thought, there's nothing I wouldn't do for him. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him. You know, and at that moment I understood the love of the Father, God, for me. You know, when I came to God. And he held me. He looked at me and he said, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. And it's the same for you. When you came to Jesus, he held you. He looked at you. When you came to God, he looked at you and he said, there's nothing I wouldn't do for Shirley. There's nothing I wouldn't do for Ian. There's nothing I wouldn't do for Louise. There's nothing I wouldn't do for Felicity. There's nothing I wouldn't do for Ava. There's nothing I wouldn't do for Steve. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Who are we? We are a child of God. We are children of God. I am a child of God. Who was she? Child of God. The religious leaders of the time didn't understand that. But Jesus saw that. She was child of the Most High God. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to shine as a light in the darkness. Our purpose is to shine as a light in the darkness. For each and every one of us, you might not see it in you, but there is a light in you. We must not see it in ourselves, but I can tell you this. There is a light in us now. How can I say this? Because now all of a sudden we're convicted of the things that we weren't convicted of before. Before we knew the truth, all the wrong things we'd do, there'd be no conviction. But now even a little negative thought, even a little wrongdoing will convict you. Why? Because light always kills the darkness. When the light sparks in you, when the light flame, that flame flames within you, there will be no room for darkness. Because when the light appears, the darkness just flees. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to shine as a light in the darkness. You have that light in you. You are the light carriers. You are the light carriers. And where do we belong? We belong to God's family. We belong to God's family. Amen. Steve was saying to me, when he goes to Spain, you know, when he goes to church there, it's just like international, isn't it? Regardless of wherever you go, we have a one big family. We have a one big family. See, this woman, she was looking to belong. One place, one relationship to another, one place from another. Each and every one of us, deep down within us, we all want to belong, don't we? This is kind of hole that kind of seeks to belong somewhere. I keep quoting this, but let me quote this again. You know, I love Saint Augustine of Hippo. He said, our hearts were made for you, Lord. Our hearts, they were made for you. And until and unless it rests in you, it will be restless. Until and unless our hearts rest in him, it will always be restless. See, why are we restless? Because we haven't fully surrendered it to him. Why am I restless? Because I haven't really fully surrendered to him. You know, when I was preparing this message, I was thinking about all different thoughts and, you know, I'm awake most of the nights now. I can't say God woke me up in the middle of the night because I'm awake most of the nights now. You know, last two nights as I was thinking about the message and as I was, you know, holding my little baby and he's crying and after a while it just becomes like a music to your ears, you know, and I'm feeding him the bottle and I'm thinking about the scripture and I'm thinking, God, what is the main message that you want me to give to your people? And I felt God say this, tell them they were never alone. Tell them they are never alone. Amen. And for me, when I heard that, it was such, you know, comforting to me as well. You know, because sometimes, should I say completely openly, we all struggle. We all struggle. My struggle might be completely different to your struggle, but in fact, we all struggle. I'm not talking about outer struggle. I'm talking about emotional struggles. I'm talking about inner struggles. There's always this battle in us, you know, trying to be someone that you're not. You see, and the reason we do that is because we want to fit in. The reason we do that is because we want to belong. And I really felt God said, you know, tell my people, you don't have to try to be someone that you're not. You don't have to try to be someone that you're not. You are already loved. You are already accepted. You are never alone. You are never alone. You see, you might say, oh, but this and that. You are never alone. You might feel like you're alone, but you are never alone. You are never alone. See, we need to control our emotions and we need to hold on to the truth. And the truth is, you and me, church, we are never alone. He's right with us, right now. As a matter of fact, he's with you right now. So wherever you walk, wherever you'll go, he'll always be with you. Because God did not bring you this far to leave you alone. God did not bring me this far to leave me alone. See, like when I was holding the baby, when I looked at the baby, and I said, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Same. God sent his only son, Jesus. Imagine that. For us. He looked at us. He looked at David, and he said, do you know what, Dave? There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. I'm ready to send my son for you. There is no greater sacrifice than that. God sending his own son for us. We are never alone. We are never alone. Your faith has made you heal. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has forgiven you. Now go in peace with the words of Jesus to this woman. And I'm going to say the same to us. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has restored you. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has transformed you. Your faith in Jesus, not in yourself, your faith in Jesus has transformed you and me. Now let's go in peace. Let's rest in peace. Let's run in peace, knowing that we are never alone. Please take this message with you this afternoon. You are never alone. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus. Who are we? We're a child of God. What is our purpose? We're called to shine as a light in the darkness. Where do we belong? We belong to God's family.
Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for your presence here right now. Lord, I don't know where we'd be without you, Lord. There'd be no hope. And I don't know, Lord, what it'd be like to live without hope. Lord, it's just such a wonderful place to be, knowing that you are for us and that we are never alone. Father, as this woman surrendered her all and as she worshipped you, help us to surrender it all and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you that you are here for us and that you never leave us. Lord, I pray, Lord, let this message resonate within us, Lord. Let it produce fruits and help us to run with fresh fire, knowing that we are loved, knowing that we are accepted, knowing that we are new creations in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all. I'm going to pass over to Grace now.